Welcome back to Grassroots Marketing here on CannabisRadio.com. My next guest is a true force of nature in the world of cannabis and community, a proud Miami native and Florida A&M alumna, launching her first business at just 18 years old and has since built a remarkable career, blending entrepreneurship with deep-rooted cultural impact. She is the CEO of Good Essence, G-U-D Essence. She is a Black female pioneer in the cannabis industry, leading a vertically integrated company focused on cultural impact, research, and economic inclusion. Journeying from the co-founding of the iconic Crescendo Jazz and Blues Lounge to managing over $20 million in assets and building a state-of-the-art cultivation campus, showcasing her unmatched ability to blend strategy with soul. Not just building a business, Jasmine Johnson's doing, but she's building a Black generational wealth, redefining cannabis culture through a lens of equity and inclusion. Again, the CEO of Good Essence, Jasmine Johnson, joins me here on Grassroots Marketing. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me. Good morning. How is everybody doing today? I'm happy to be here.
Really appreciate you taking time out. Now, quite a different change from going from the cultural aspect of running the Jazz and Blues Lounge Crescendo to cannabis. So one of the lessons you learned about creating a third place for community and culture and hospitality. I mean, obviously, we know there's consumption lounges that are being built around the country and what their aspect is, but definitely bringing music, this kind of feel to it, into cannabis. Tell me about how that meshes together so well.
Well, Crescendo Jazz and Blues Lounge, that was one of my first brainchilds that came to life. It was a two-story jazz and blues club where we played jazz and blues live music every day. Before consumption lounges were a thing, we were definitely consuming in the lounge. And with the name Crescendo, of course, the relation to cannabis is, I think we all want to end on a high note there. And I'm really excited, especially with my degree being in hospitality and tourism management, to blend what I think is missing in the cannabis space. Naturally, cannabis is supposed to be a hospitable, fun group activity. And now that the business portion and the legal business portion has entered the chat, it seems as though it's been commercialized and it's been reduced to numbers and profits and margins, whereas we're losing the community impact. So I'm really excited to bring that back to the space and to merge the perfect blend of hospitality, cannabis, community, culture. It's a very exciting moment for us right now.
Now, you stated that limiting cannabis to hemp and marijuana erases the science and the plant's full potential. So you're in Florida, still very highly regulated. We didn't get adult this last year. Hope we could try to do it in probably another 4 years. But either which way, it's still a very binary kind of field that lawmakers are starting to go ahead and understand. They just look at it black and white. They really can't see what real nuances are behind or the understanding scientifically of the plant, you know, and there's a lot of reasons why, but
yeah.
Tell me about what you're doing to find opportunities for innovation and patient care that can be unlocked by shifting this mindset.
Well, I think words matter, right? And I think a big portion of the confusion is the mainstream verbiage, the regulatory verbiage, legal language, and why are we choosing to use such framework? I think it ultimately by using marijuana as a regulatory legal word versus calling it cannabis, which is its botanical name, scientific name, it connects it to cannabinoids and connects it to the endocannabinoid system in our body, which ultimately makes it medicinal, scientific, and can now be clinically, can now be involved in such clinical research-based ways. By us calling it marijuana, it perpetuates the stigma. Not that we're not commonly associating with marijuana, weed, all types of nicknames, but when we think about professional bodies of work and how and what words we utilize when we provide, no matter which industry, we often have to be careful about using nicknames, especially those associated with stigmas, because when I go to have an intelligent conversation with a doctor, with a professional, and I try to use the word marijuana and hemp to differentiate between one cannabis species is often misunderstood. Hemp, although commonly used on the medicinal side and the textile side, it can be confused when I speak to cannabinoids as a whole and cannabis as a whole plant.
Now, I also want to go and take into the part about creating Black generational wealth through real estate and cannabis. So you've had a lot of work background in building community anchors, and beyond the what you're doing, a good essence, what strategies are you trying to implement right now so that the economic benefits of Florida's burgeoning cannabis industry are not just captured by a few, but broadly distributed? Because there's not really a social equity program set in place. So what is it you're trying to do from the private front that you're able to do?
Well, because it's taken us, we started about 8 years ago after the first 5 licenses were awarded in the state. And because it has taken us so long to get into this position, we want to bring as many people as we can who are in the cannabis space, who have wonderful product mix. For example, we have a brand partner, Wake and Bake Elevated, that has a seasoning line. And it's some of the most delicious mixes between the smoked sea salts, and they also have sugars. This is something where having the cannabis infusion, you can spice up your tea, you can season your food in certain ways. We're looking for smaller businesses, maybe those that don't necessarily have the marketing budget or the ability to finance getting in Florida in a vertical just to put out a seasoning line, to give them the shelf space and the opportunity to come through the 8 years of hard work that it took to get here. So equity also comes in our team. A big portion of the 8 years has been a team that stood by me and who's believed in the dream for, again, as long as it's taken to get here. So we are an employee-owned and operated company. I'm very happy that to speak to equity, my mother and father are our investors. And so I think with Florida, the silver lining that we've been looking for is, obviously, we have to run this company as a corporation, but coming from a family business and now continuing from the restaurant to now cannabis, the family business, it's a necessity that the people who are involved as our founding team and as we continue to hire our growing team, that they have a stake in equity in the space. So that's something that we're really proud to be. We know Florida, it's been a long time coming. And we're happy to represent that through and through.
Now, I want to make mention for context. The real estate link that we were just talking about is the fact that your mother was one of the first Black Century 21 brokers in Florida, and together your family holdings have grown into a multi-million dollar portfolio. That's part of where it comes from, that real estate aspect, just to make sure to bring that in. And that was SS Magazine that you were featured in most recently about that. Now, I also see that you're going to be speaking at the Cannabis Lab Conference Next Book coming up at the start of next month in October. And yes, I've been looking at the website. I want to find out where you're going to be speaking on. You are speaking there, but specifically, which particular session are you going to be speaking on?
I'll be speaking on panel 8, and it's speaking more of the globalization of hemp and the global market. And so I'm really excited to speak to, again, verbiage and language. My biggest message here is, now that we have a new director of the OMMU, I am hoping maybe we change that. Big change we need now is a change to terminology. I often see states that use the word marijuana versus states that use the word cannabis. The ones who use the word cannabis seem to have a science, medicinal, medically focused basis, versus stating a medical program, you can see the intention clearly laid out. And so I'm always preaching, we need to call it by its name. It's cannabis.
But now there's another problem where in some of those states, they're just trying to go and hold on the hemp as they can because of the fact that the intoxicating elements, they want to make it where they've already done it in Tennessee. They're trying to do it in Texas still ongoing, about the idea of making where hemp can only be used for industrial purposes and not to derive it into cannabis. So, yes. I mean, has that been anything that and I forget how Florida has already perceived that as well. I know California's dealt with it, but what is it so far in the state of Florida right now? And is that something that is a bit of a deterrent from being able to go and continue that cause of trying to go to re-identify marijuana as such?
I think with us having the larger conversation on a federal level, with us understanding and using the right verbiage of a consumable product, ingestible product, it's important that anything we ingest and consume in our body goes through a certain level of testing. Now, this is where language matters. When we say cannabis and we say cannabinoids and we talk to 100 cannabinoids, and then we focus on THC with high THC that has psychoactive effects. The psychoactive effects are what we want to regulate, because what is trying to be comparable to is, if you consume cannabis and you have psychoactive effects, you are now, inebriated. So they want to associate it with like an alcoholic type consequence, when it's far off basis from that. But that's a separate conversation when we talk about
Jasmine. The other thing too, I meant to make mention of as well, is that not only are the states already talking about this, the federal level is going to look at this as well, because the FDA hemp bill is going to be coming back for review. And that is one of the areas that several congressmen have already publicly stated they want to go ahead and follow the same suit. So, chance that we could try to keep that conversation going without losing it altogether?
Because it just becomes a matter of, any ingestible products need to go through a certain level of testing. If it's THC and psychoactive, then 21 consumption limitations on that. If it's a use for textile or industrial use, that's an entirely different conversation, but it's still cannabis. So if you say, I want to use cannabis for industrial use, separate conversation. I want to use cannabis for an ingestible use or consumable, separate testing. That's it. Because all cannabinoids, whether it's just THC, they all should be tested if you are going to ingest them. Does that make sense? Anything you're eating, you should test it. Now, if you're going to make hemp concrete, it obviously has its own level of testing to be considered concrete.
Well, that's the part. There's universal standards for all these other industries, and cannabis can apply a universal standard that's already been out there as well. But they don't do it either for hemp or for cannabis. They don't want to set it up either good manufacturing practice for the actual cannabis from the cannabis plant, or for hemp, there's the Cosmetics Act of 1930. It's all set in place. It can be done, but it's just people are not paying attention to it.
Now, and we have
So back to Good Essence. So it's not just about cannabis products. And I like the area where what you come from music and culture, you want to also diversify into apparel, lifestyle, and wellness. So the conversion from just the cultivation into that lifestyle brand, what are some of the ideas that you're throwing around right now? And what are some of the things you're about to implement?
Oh, absolutely. So we want to definitely be big in apparel. We are working with local Floridian-based designers. And one, we're getting ready to launch, and country club collection. And this, we really want to align with pickleball, tennis, golfing, and, make it where cannabis consumption, if you can smoke a cigarette on a golf course, if you can, have your cannabis gummy before you get around a pickleball in. We definitely want to open and remove this stigma, the negative stigma and association to the plant. We're looking forward to our training program within the company. So we've been building out with Greenleaf Payroll, a learning management system. Through their learning management system and training program, that'll give a very comprehensive understanding, because it starts with, we have to educate our team on the full impact of all the cannabinoids, how to have the conversation with patients. And this is something we also want to extend to the community. So we have a learning management program in draft now. And you will see our grand openings coming for Clearwater, Orlando, and Jacksonville this fall. So we have a few big things in the works. A few big things, yes.
Where are we located right there in Miami initially? And tell me again where other areas are going to be opening up and you're going to be able to find.
Sure. So Miami, our corporate office, we are on 500 Northwest 54th Street. Jacksonville will be, it'll be downtown Jacksonville, 210 East State Street. So it's a huge property, a huge parcel there with a nice lawn. We plan on doing yoga downtown Jacksonville. And Orlando is 9898 International Drive, right across the street from the convention center. So that's a very...
Wow. Anything on the eye is a big deal. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're really excited about that location. And in Clearwater, we are on, I think it's, I have to get you back that address to, I don't know the address.
Just south of Tampa for those that are listening in. But so you have four locations that are going to be opening up. And any time you can tell us about when we're going to see those grand openings?
Yes, Clearwater is our first location. We're looking to open our soft opening November 15th and December 15th, downtown Jacksonville. By January 15th, Orlando. We'll be kicking off a wellness tour in January. So you'll be able to see all of our locations. We'll have giveaways, goodies, and lots of events going on through each week. So definitely stay tuned to hear more about that. But yes.
Fantastic. So website is Good Essence, GUDEssence.com, GUDEssence.com. And also you can find them all social media under the same name. And again, I'm here with the CEO, Jasmine Johnson. Congratulations. I hope the grand openings go very well. Thank you so much. And let's go ahead and follow back up again once everything's all settled in, and let's see how everything goes.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jasmine. Stay in touch. Appreciate you taking time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.